welcome to Running Off the Rails. My name is Ariel Rasko.
And I'm Raymond O'Connor.
And it's good to be back. This week, we're going to be talking about starting your game with a funnel adventure.
That's right. Arcadia 9 features an awesome article called Filthy Peasants, Level Zero Characters, and the Funnel. And it's got me really amped up. I haven't looked too deeply into funnel adventure games in the past, but this article has me very excited. Right away when I'm reading through this article, it's making me realize how I could use a funnel adventure to solve a lot of the weirdness or the problems that pop up right in the beginning of a campaign.
We've talked before about hot starts, how it can be a way to make your characters engaged through that beginning awkwardness of sitting around a table for the first time and not really knowing what to do. And I can't think of a hotter start than running your players through a funnel.
A funnel adventure is where all of your players at your table will make a bunch of level zero characters, or characters that barely have any abilities, and they'll be controlling multiple of these characters. And as they're going through the adventure, a few of them are going to die because they're not heroes. They're peasants, they're villagers, they're civilians, and the ones that survive this harrowing, life-changing experience will then have gained the skills necessary to go on and become full-fledged adventurers.
A similar experience you can think about is maybe in the series The Witcher, where you have a lot of people studying and training to become a Witcher, but only a few of them actually survive the initiation. And those ones are the ones that go on to adventure and become heroes.
Another great example that has popped up recently in pop culture is the Squid Games. The Squid Games is a great example of a bunch of regular people who are put into a harrowing, life-threatening situation, and through these subsequent challenges that they're going through, they're becoming more and more hardened. They're becoming more and more of exciting characters because they've had to go through these trials.
I think what you're left with at the end of a funnel like this is a group of players that know who their characters are and are excited to play them and feel like they've really overcome something monstrous and crazy and are ready to go out and adventure some more and take on other lethal challenges. It really creates a D&D adventuring party, not just some random people meeting at a pub.
So some of the problems that I've witnessed or observed when I've tried to kick off new adventures is that level 1 D&D characters are already pretty heroic. If your character is a wizard, they're capable of casting some pretty powerful, life-threatening spells. If they're a cleric or a paladin, they're already capable of performing healing miracles and basically bringing people back from near death if they're making death-saving throws. That can be a little bit strange because a lot of the fiction that I model my D&D adventures after usually starts with the main character being just kind of like an average or regular person. So it's a little bit strange that these characters are showing up already capable of being like fully fledged heroes and being able to fight off monstrous entities with competence. It cuts through that important part of a character's arc.
Yeah, I've always felt that this important character arc that you're talking about exists in this weird background feature that we give to our players during character creation. And I think this is exactly what you're talking about, Ray. It's this idea that the background should be a thing that I play through. The background should be a thing that I experience. I love reading the beginning of these fiction novels for that reason. And so if I just look through a list and choose Acolyte, it feels a little unearned. And I love that this funnel specifically is something that you earn. You play through it to gain skills. The skills and proficiencies that you get from a background are ones that you can actually go through step by step in this funnel that we're given from Arcadia, and you can put on your character sheet as you develop them through the session.
That's one of the things that I love about the article, is that you start off with this like small army of villagers who don't have any proficiencies. And then when they successfully try to do a skill check, they gain proficiency in that skill check. And that's how you decide what proficiencies your characters start off with. You don't get to hand choose them, but there's enough characters that you're playing with that you'll have a diverse group of characters to choose from for that character that you eventually want to go on and play traditional D&D with. The outcomes are actually like super interesting. You could wind up with some very strange combinations of skills and saving throws as a result of going through a funnel adventure like this, which will make your characters much more unique. I'm thinking of some weird scenarios where maybe you might have a paladin that has a proficiency in dexterity saving throws. That's something that's pretty cool, but when I think about dragoons and paladins that exist in other types of fantasy, they certainly are dexterous, and that seems like a really cool opportunity to build a paladin that you wouldn't see in D&D through any other means of character creation.
And you're just giving your character more stories to draw off of that everyone else was there to experience. When you're introducing your player characters to a group of NPCs, you can actually talk about, you know, exciting things that you did at the table from the very first session. You can talk about how you dodged a rock being thrown at you or saved yourself from a pit of spikes, and that's how you knew that you were ready to adventure. That's how you knew that you were good at these dexterity challenges, and you can provide a lot to any kind of quest giver that you've met. I think playing through these things rather than coming up with them in a backstory is something that adds so much value, especially to a group of people coming to D&D maybe for the first time. I love that this funnel is giving more examples of playing through exposition rather than writing down or thinking about your exposition.
And that's another thing that's usually pretty awkward about the beginning of a D&D session, is that the motivations of the characters to go on a quest together can usually feel very contrived, or the party can feel like it doesn't mesh together at all, because the players spend a certain amount of time deciding what their backstory is, and they're very, very different from all different types of walks of life, and now all of a sudden, the group is supposed to gel together. It's pretty easy to come up with reasons why the group will work together to accomplish some type of goal. That's not a really difficult problem to come up with as a game master, but sometimes even with a shared purpose, the characters and their personalities, while the players are role-playing them, just don't gel together well. It feels awkward or clunky at the table, and sometimes that can feel a little bit unfun.
I think an interesting dynamic of this too is not just the players gelling together like you're talking about, but also the players gelling with the DM's world. And so if you're playing in a world where you can die from a trap, or there are poisons around, or there's a lot of people trying to kill you, that's something that you now get to experience with a slew of different characters in a more fun, maybe a little bit sillier setting before you get into a campaign, so that the DM gets a chance to describe the tone of their world. What are the different things that you need to be careful about so that you as players can gel with the DM's strategy and the DM's play style before really nailing down exactly who you're playing and what you're doing as a group?
That's another really great point. When you're trying to play in a setting that isn't the typical Faerun Dungeons & Dragons setting, and there are elements of your game that are different, there are maybe some custom mechanics that you want to feel really deadly and different and new and surprising to your players, this is a really great opportunity to introduce that mechanic and have it kill somebody. Have it kill somebody that's being controlled by a player, and have it be really shocking and surprising to your players. It will establish tone in your world that it's a lethal world if you interact with these world elements the wrong way, but you get to kind of foreshadow it without stopping a player from making that mistake. You kind of get to have your cake and eat it too, and then all of the players that survive have a really good in-character reason why they now know that this thing that's weird about your world is lethal or dangerous.
I really like your point of dealing the danger to a character controlled by a player. Sometimes I set the tone for something by having an NPC die. or doing something really bad to an NPC so that the players don't feel like I have, you know, taken away their agency in some way, that I haven't sprung a trap on them that they couldn't have predicted. And in this way, it sort of feels like I'm playing D&D with myself sometimes, that I'm introducing some conflict and I'm resolving that conflict with the death. And maybe I could have just written a book about this instead of bringing it to the table. But in a funnel, if I'm giving these things to my players in such a way where they won't be so upset if they've lost agency, because that's the expectation going in, I get to set this drama and show them that the world is dangerous and there's a villain out there who will kill them without really hurting the player's ability to have fun.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the essence of this thing. And that's why we call it a funnel too, is you're putting a series of challenges in front of your players. Things that you want them to interact with that are lethal. Multiple things, not just a thing, because with each challenge that all the characters interact with, fewer and fewer of them survive. Whichever characters emerge from that final conflict, it could be maybe half of the characters that started at the beginning of the adventure, or a quarter, or maybe you even accidentally TPK and you need to send in the second group of villagers, and they'll succeed because the first group of villagers like sprung half the traps that were in the dungeon.
Yeah, there's a section about how to do that in a fun and not contrived way in this Arcadia article too, which I thought was really thoughtful.
Yeah, so maybe let's talk about some of the essential ingredients that go into creating a funnel adventure that will deliver on these core elements or these core outcomes that we want to achieve with a funnel adventure. Again, the name of the article is Filthy Peasants, Level Zero Characters, and the Funnel by Chris Bissett.
I think the most important thing for me when I'm looking to run an intro session, and especially this funnel type of intro session, would be to introduce the world. And this funnel, specifically, we want to introduce the danger of the world. So I like this idea that we have a certain kinds of dangers that you might not know about if you haven't played these games before. So if you're going to pick a lock, check to see if the lock is trapped. And maybe there's a poison dart or something in the lock before you start working your thieves' tools. If you're going through a hallway, check for pressure plates and maybe broken away pieces of the hallway that lead to a pit. These kinds of things, which are very classic and things that my players will know to look out for in the future if they find these dangers in the pit.
Yeah, I think that funnel adventures provide GMs and players with an opportunity to experience a genre that we don't usually get to experience in Dungeons & Dragons, which is the thriller genre. In a horror movie, we know that characters are going to die. We know that there'll probably be a few survivors, but how they die and when they die is part of the movie and the reason that we watch it. It's part of the intrigue. As viewers, we like to take guesses at what fates will befall these different characters, and then we get to see that play out on the screen. That's something that you don't really get to do in Dungeons & Dragons, especially once your players become very attached to their characters. Right now in my campaign, my players have run their characters all the way up from level 2 to 12, and if any of them were to lose their character, it might end our campaign, because they've been playing these characters for 2 years and they're so invested in their story, and the plot of my game, the plot of the campaign, is so interwoven with their characters that if their characters were to die, it would kind of feel like a pillar of my game had been stolen away. The funnel adventure is explicit permission for the players and the GM to be excited about experiencing this type of genre in a game that we all love and are familiar with.
And I think this is almost an essential part of the funnel, to start your world with this thriller horror theme so that your players can really get engaged with the danger of the world and maybe be okay with a character death at levels 2, 3, 4, something we've talked about on the podcast before, how putting this character death on the table and creating a game where players know that it's a possibility and think that if they work hard enough, they can avoid it, but if they slip up, it might happen. I think that's a tone that we're really excited about and is kind of essential to this idea of what a funnel can bring to your party.
Something that you pointed out earlier that I thought was really cool too is how your characters are learning to do the things that eventually they will know to do once they're full-fledged adventurers. So you were talking about how you're telegraphing to your players that locks in your world might be trapped, that hallways in your world might be trapped. We all are used to the rogue who shows up session one. It makes sense, their background is being a criminal, that they would check for traps before they try to pick a lock. But we do kind of get to miss out on the surprise of a character getting hit with a trapped lock. I love the idea that you as the player have this idea that, oh, this villager of mine is going to be a rogue someday. Oh, I go up and they try to pick the lock. They get stabbed with a poison needle and they die. And now the villager behind them knows whenever they try to pick a lock in their life, they will make sure that it's not trapped. And they have that experience that everyone at the table got to see. And then maybe many sessions later, once they're level 3, level 4 adventurers, and the rogue goes to pick the lock, maybe the fighter from the back of the group says gruffly, "Remember what happened to Jimmy?" And like the rogue kind of like looks back because Jimmy was the villager that they both saw back in that session 0 funnel adventure die to a trapped lock.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things we were talking about, if you're going to introduce this really nasty adventure for your players in the beginning, there should probably be a reason they're there that is very important and that pushes them forward, so that as these nasty things start happening, they don't spend too much time role-playing the trauma or too much time maybe thinking of running away. They actually need to push forward and keep going, because if they don't, something bad will happen. And so in this case, if someone tries to pick a lock and dies, and this is, you know, maybe the first or second door in your adventure, you might be so scared that you would just turn and walk away. I think that would be a normal way for somebody to see several people die and respond. So this core feature of a funnel, we want the players to be needing to be there. They need to go through. If they turn around, something bad will happen. If they turn around, maybe they won't survive. Or maybe if they turn around, this boon that they need for some reason, it will be impossible to get and it will be worth risking their lives for. So I think this idea of pushing forward despite horrifying things is a really important part of how to set up your funnel, just for the flow of gameplay, if not for the realism.
Absolutely. I think you could really run into some issues if, as a game master, you just expect that your players are going to try to just keep going, even though all of their comrades, the people that they've known for their entire lives, if it's a village, are dying around them. I think there's two big examples that you could use in your game. One would be the maybe something that the villagers absolutely need to save have been taken. So the example here would be the children. Maybe like the children or a group of children that were out playing were taken captive, and now a group of the villagers, maybe the capable fighting people in the village, are going out to save the kids, and they need to keep going no matter what. And then the other thing is that they're running for their lives. I think that a great example of something that could be the motivation in a funnel adventure is that maybe a village has been attacked or a city has been attacked, and your players are playing all of the civilians of a specific section of the city, and maybe there's an ancient red dragon or an adult red dragon that's setting fire to the city. Maybe it's also under siege by the dragon's minions. Maybe it's like an army of kobolds or a lich has allied with the dragon. And now your characters have to run for their lives and get through this series of skill challenges and maybe small combats that you've set up, and the ones that survive and escape will go on to become your level 1 adventurers. One of the things that's beautiful about this setup is your player characters now are coalesced or motivated around a common end of campaign villain that you've set up in your first session, and they have obvious motivation to plot against and eventually try to take down. The article Filthy Peasants does a really good job of this. For the first half of the adventure, the villagers are going to try and find something. And right around where the adventure has become so lethal that enough of the villagers have died, where they should really start to be wondering whether or not they should keep going and whether it's worth it, that's when something comes from behind to push them through the rest of the adventure.
This example you bring up with this dragon fire and a siege and your players running away from these things, I think is a really great example of the power that a funnel can bring to session one, the next session after the funnel. Now you have a group of players who are refugees, and the only people they know are each other. This is a really deep glue that is going to keep an adventuring party together. It's a very natural reason why everyone is having each other's backs, healing each other, helping each other. I think this idea of community and forced community in some ways makes for a really great adventuring party. Intra-party conflict is pretty common in the first few episodes, and I think this is a way to kind of combat that. And then you have also this going from town to town, flitting around because they have no home. This is a really natural way to play D&D, but sometimes it feels forced because theoretically you should go home at some point. In this case, the players are trying to go home once they've leveled up, but for now, they're refugees. They have to keep running around and adventuring. I think it's just a really awesome way to set the stage, and the funnel did this in a way that felt organic, and you got to play through it. You didn't just talk about it.
Yeah, I think that murder hoboism is a really big problem that DMs run into with Dungeons & Dragons, and we've talked about this in our Embracing Murder Hobo episode. The rules of the game are basically all about killing things. So the game of Dungeons & Dragons is kind of murder hobo the game. So it can be a little bit jarring when a dungeon master can get upset or is concerned that their players are engaging too much in that style of play. Now they kind of are murder hobos. They've just lost their home right in front of the players. There's nowhere for them to go back to, and there are a lot of other refugees, presumably wandering around your setting. So all of a sudden, supplies have become very scarce, and people can't really rely on law and order anymore because there's just not enough to go around. So your players will be justified, or it'll be justified within the scope of the story, for them to resort to this desperate and extreme behavior.
I think you start to see when you look into these really excellent examples of Dungeons & Dragons, when you read an article or an adventure that feels amazing to you, it probably has that magic because it's incorporating so many different ideas, and it's incorporating so many different benefits into your game. And that's how we really felt reading this Filthy Peasants adventure from Arcadia. It took a lot of concepts that we love and put it into an easy to run, easy to read adventure that had lots of different tips and tricks riddled throughout it so that I think anybody could run it in a successful way. Ray talked about how at a certain point, the players can't turn around anymore because something is coming up behind it. This is also a little bit of a clock that we've talked about as a concept where your players need to keep moving forward, and if they go too slow, if they take too many rests, then the creature from behind will catch up. And we've talked about that on travel episodes and how that can be meaningful. And so it's incorporating all these different ideas. Did you find some others, Ray, that you wanted to point out?
Absolutely. So the adventure is packed with skill challenges. And this is super important because you're going to need a lot of opportunities for your players to look at the characters that they have in front of them and to start selecting them for different roles and start kind of deciding through actions and attempted heroics what types of adventurer they might become someday. And you need to have enough of these where the player might choose a favorite and have them step up, and maybe they succeed in two things, but then they die. And you'll now need enough challenges where the characters that the player is choosing after that one have enough opportunities for them to become developed as well. So we see in the adventure that it's packed with these types of skill challenges. The first is a really great example of kind of one of these like zone skill challenges, where it's a low DC, it's a river, it's a muddy river, and all of the characters need to get across it. it's possible that you could get stuck in this river almost like quicksand and drown. And because you're rolling a saving throw for all of the adventurers, it's actually pretty likely that at least one or two of them are going to die in this way. Something that I really like about this example is because it's natural, it's nature, the players have a good example for some of their other characters to step up and try and save some of the characters that are struggling. This is a great opportunity for maybe some of the players to form bonds or some of the characters to form bonds, and maybe an opportunity for some of the characters to dislike each other. Maybe one of the characters calls out for help and one of the characters on the riverbank freezes and is afraid to go and help. Now all of a sudden you have a conflict between these two characters. And because you have a huge group, this conflict is okay. That's something that I really like about a funnel adventure, is it provides opportunities where inter-player conflict is okay because there's so many characters that they're controlling that it doesn't feel personal.
Yeah, I think this is a really great point that is mechanically built into this funnel, because in this funnel, you don't have any skills and you get those skills by succeeding on skill checks. So the adventure has to mechanically have a ton of skill checks. But I think this is also something we talk about when we talk about good design, is that we should let the players try things out. We should let the players roll dice and feel that they have a lot of agency in their decision-making. They can decide that they want to do something and we'll let a bunch of dice fly to see what happens. It's a really fun experience, something that we really want everybody DMing to give their players the option to do. And this is mechanically built into the funnel here. So with Ray's example of the river is a super awesome one that enables coordination and help and also inter-party conflict. There's also like 15 other things in this adventure that have the same idea behind it and the same mechanics. And it's really built into this funnel to try out different things, use different skills, and see who succeeds and who fails. Another thing I really liked about the mechanics in this funnel is that some of them have consequences down the line. I think this is a really great tool for D&D for any session. Something that you do in one session affects you later on. We've talked about that in maybe every episode we've done, where your players feel like their actions have consequences. In this adventure, we have Troll Stink, and it's something that you gain as you move further and further through the adventure. You get this stench on you, and you have the opportunity to clean it off and to interact with it. And if you don't, there are consequences. And the more you go through and the more you gain this stink, the more consequences you have. And I think this is a really awesome example of introducing weird mechanics that aren't in the player's handbook or the Dungeon Master's Guide to your players so that they're thinking critically and they're surprised and they're thinking that their choices have, you know, real consequences down the line if they succeed or fail. If they succeed at getting this off, something good happens. If they fail at getting it off, something bad happens. And now they're constantly thinking about the ways that they can work with your game to make their characters more successful down the line.
There's lots of things that you could drop in to this adventure as well that might inform character choices. There's this weird tentacled picture in this cave. And maybe a player who looks at it for too long or interacts with it in an interesting way, they might become cursed in a way, like a warlock. If a player wants to multi-class into warlock, perhaps many, many sessions later, maybe they choose a different class, but they just keep having these dreams and these nightmares about that picture that they saw when they were on that first adventure. And everybody else saw it, but no one looked it in the eyes the way that this character did. And now the character becomes a warlock because of something that all of the characters can remember. It's not something that the player has contrived in their backstory.
Yeah, and you could even turn this into a specific challenge that the players need to get past if you were really excited about this idea. It's pitched as a random encounter, and I could imagine in order to get past somewhere, you need to withstand this look from an ancient painting, and if you don't, you take psychic damage, like in the encounter. But if you do, you get passed on to the next room. And so somebody in your group, one of the villagers in the group of many villagers that are trying to get through this funnel, will have this warlock experience, will have this supernatural thing happen to them, And that way, if they survive, you can choose to run with that. Or if you're really excited about it, you can try and help them survive so that they get through the funnel at the end. There's lots of room for individual DMs to know their players, to know their style of DMing, and pick things from this funnel that they're excited about and bring them to life in bigger ways.
Yeah, this article just does a really good job delivering a really solid example of how to run a successful funnel adventure. I mean, it's an excellent adventure, and I would love to run it the way that it is written. But if you're somebody who doesn't really run anything as written, you're kind of like a homebrew purist, this article is an excellent template. Something that we haven't talked about a lot in this episode, and something that we probably won't, is the specifics of what makes a level zero character. Basically, they don't have a class and they don't have proficiencies. They're pretty much just an empty peasant stat block with maybe kind of a job that they had. But there's a lot of mechanics that go into making kind of like an army of these peasants that all feel different and diverse. And then how do you bring that level zero character to level one? The article has a lot of details about not only the mechanics of how to do this with lots of random tables to roll on, but also a lot of really insightful tips for both players and GMs so that they can change their paradigm or their mindset going into this adventure so that they're set up to succeed. If you're going to run a funnel adventure, you could definitely just go for it and try it out. Maybe like you've seen Squid Games or you've seen The Witcher special on Netflix and you're just really excited to run D&D in this way. But I would really recommend giving this article a read. If I ever run a funnel adventure, I'll probably use this article heavily as a reference.
I was actually thinking a lot about how to go from this level zero character to a level one character as a DM. I was trying to decide how would I make sure that my players, after going through a sort of thriller horror experience, how would they feel about my normal sessions of D&D afterwards? And I'm thinking maybe, Ray, you're calling me out a little bit as a homebrew purist, because I would definitely change up some of the things to make sure that that transition fit my style of play. I don't have a lot of criticisms about the idea of a funnel, but this would be my one thing to be careful about and to think about. I think for my style, I like for the first few sessions to have a little bit more levity. And so Ray came up with a really great idea when we were talking about this funnel, that maybe after this experience, there's just a little bit of a time skip, enough space for these characters who have bonded and have shared experiences and are excited about the skills that they've learned in action rather than in character creation, to give them enough time to not be horrified anymore. I don't really want my players coming to the table with a lot of trauma unless they specifically want to do that. I don't want to have a group of players that have to be sad and work through horrifying experiences unless that's their fantasy. So I want to give these players a way to be happy and silly and make jokes in session one. And maybe this funnel is not the exact right way to do that for your players. So moving things around, making things slightly less horrific, making more rewards for your players at the end so they feel like they've won something and can cheer rather than just surviving, a time skip like Ray is talking about, maybe these are some ways to make the funnel fit your style of DMing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call out. I think that players, having gone through an experience like this and chosen their player characters that they're going to go on and play a full campaign with, I think there would be a real temptation for all of the players to slip into this kind of like survivor character archetype that we see. I think that there's a D&D background for it that's called the Haunted One that a lot of people choose. And that could be pretty homogenous if all of the players are basically doing this kind of like life has no meaning, I've lost everybody that I care about, the world is only death. If they all have that kind of like vibe going, that might not be a fun mix of personalities. So I really like this idea that at the end of surviving the funnel, they get kind of like pararescued or they get saved eventually, and they all kind of get to assimilate into another society and become different people from the people that they were. This is a great opportunity for characters to establish their own motivations. And then maybe one day, maybe 3 years later or a year later, there's a call to action. Everyone in the kingdom is being summoned to go to war against the army that laid waste to their city during that first funnel adventure. And the funnel adventure was them escaping the city under siege. And of course, that's the call that brings all of these characters back together. And it's 3 years later, they knew each other as children, but they don't really know each other anymore. Maybe one of the characters has become a monk and they've been pursuing enlightenment as a way for them to deal with their trauma. And they're actually fairly well adjusted because they basically got therapy. Maybe one of the characters became like just a full-on criminal and they're the rogue in the group. And maybe they're kind of like that angsty archetype. Maybe one of the other characters fell into the wrong group, but they seem like they're on the up and up. And they use this horrible incident that occurred in their life that all of the characters experienced as the rationalization for why they're going to betray the party in some way in the future, or their goals kind of like run counter to the party in some way. I'm really captivated by this idea of the funnel adventure. I'm already kind of like thinking about the written modules that exist for D&D and the natural ways that you might change the beginning of those modules to be funnel adventures.
Yeah, I really, really love this idea that they're getting back together rather than getting together for the first time.
Yeah, I think this is a slam dunk article by Arcadia, and I'm just really excited to see them continue to innovate on like what my perception of Dungeons & Dragons can be.
Yeah, I think they described it as their most ambitious project, and I can see that because they really take care to get all the rules and mechanics that we didn't talk about so much, exactly how a zero character works, exactly how it can move into a level one character. They took a lot of time and care with those, so much so that I feel like we didn't even need to talk about them because they were very natural and they fit very well.
They did a great job. Another slam dunk, Arcadia 9. We'll probably go back and cover Arcadia 8 now that we're very lucky that Ariel has returned at some point in the future. So keep an eye out for that. But until next time, I'm Raymond O'Connor.
And I'm Ariel Rasko.
And thanks for listening to Running Off the Rails. If you enjoyed Running Off the Rails, please like, follow, and review our show on your platform of choice. Please follow our Instagram, Running Off the Rails, for notifications whenever we release a blog post, a new episode, or new content on the DMs Guild. If you prefer a specific type of content, please send us a message on Instagram. The jam you are listening to is Hoist by Andy G. Cohen, and you can find Hoist and more of Cohen's music on the Free Music Archive. You can find links to all of our content at runningofftherails.com or on our Facebook page, Running Off the Rails.